today. We're going to be preaching about the great white throne judgment, starting in verse 11. Let me remind you to put away your cell phones, and you know, there's no need to really have that out today unless you're on call or have an emergency. So let's not be distracted in the service or distract others, amen, by having our phones out. And I know Brother West has his iPad, but he gets to see, and I'm not against all that, you know, but just don't be distracted from the Word of God, amen? Amen. So we're going to read our text this morning, the Great White Throne Judgment. It is probably a familiar message to you. You've heard a lot about this, or a familiar passage, but we're going to try to dig in and break this down the best we can, and in a memorable way that you can store it away in your memory, but not only that, share it with other people. Amen. If we know people have a great need today. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you today for your word. We thank you, Father, that for those of us who are saved, we have eternal salvation, eternal hope. We thank you for that blessed hope and for the promise, Lord, to be with you forever and ever and spared from this last final judgment of man. So, Father, I thank you for the blessings that we have today in Christ. But, Father, we do pray for those maybe today in our midst who need to be saved. Father, that they would not face this judgment, that they would come to Christ before it's eternally too late. Even those who are listeners out there through our phone service and also Facebook and sermon audio. Father, we need your hand upon the message of the Word of God here and around the world for souls to be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The truth be told, the world is filled with people who live as if they have no sin. They live as if God did not exist. They live, the truth be told, as if there is no judgment they will face. However, what they hope for will never come to pass. There is a judgment. There is a God. They do have sin. And these verses tell us about that judgment day. It's a terrible day when every lost sinner will face the Lord in judgment. The Bible shows us here there'll be no place to hide. There will be no, you can't hide behind any excuses. You can't hide behind ignorance, false professions. Everyone will face the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge, and they will receive a just sentence for their sins. This judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. We'll look at that in a moment. And we are thankful, as I mentioned in my prayer, that no born-again believer will stand in that judgment. Amen. Amen. This is a judgment for the lost, for those who have never repented of their sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He will either be your Lord and Savior now, or He will be your judge in that day. So let's get into our message today on the Great White Throne Judgment. we see in verse 11, the judge on his throne. Who is the judge? We'll see this. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. And him that sat on it. But I want you to see the picture of the throne. There's two words here, two adjectives. It's a great throne. It's a white throne. These are adjectives that describe the throne. And I want you to kind of understand when it says great, it's referring to his power there. It's a powerful throne because think about this. It's the highest court in the universe. When judgment is rendered from this throne, there'll be no appeal. Like today, you know, everything's being appealed. There'll be no appeal to a higher court, for there is no higher court. This is the place of highest authority and final judgment. It's called white because it speaks of its purity. Human courts are tainted by sin, prejudice, infallibility. I remember when I was in Chile, just to give you an example of the justice there or injustice, there was an accident one day in front of our house. We lived on the corner and I just happened to be looking out the window. I was a witness. But, you know, I was a witness to what I saw. I wasn't going to lie. And I saw what happened. So they called me with this guy. But down there, you have to have three witnesses. And what it is it doesn't matter if anyone's there. You go and you find witnesses. You tell them what happened. And then literally after the judgment or after the court case, they invite you over to the house and they practically pay you to be their witness. That's justice. And I was like, I was kind of involved in that, but I was telling the truth, but I didn't go to his house. I didn't go to the party. And though they wanted me to, it was like, no, I said, I'll just tell what I saw. That's all I'm here to do, you know. But I got in on everything else, what was going on. You see, that's what happens here on the earth. There's sin, there's prejudice, there's fallibility. However, this court, on the other hand, is absolutely perfect. The judgment here will be fair, will be righteous, will be pure because of the one who sits on the throne. Amen? Amen. He is infallible. He is the one who is the judge and he knows everything. He can't be tainted by sin or prejudice. Remember, God is no respecter of persons. So his judgment will be right and pure. And no one's going to cry in that day, unfair, unfair, when the sentence is handed down. Remember, the Bible gives us the picture, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So that is kind of the attitude they're going to have, even though they don't like the judgment. So every sinner will be judged and it will be fair. It will be perfect. So we see the picture of this throne, but I want you to see secondly, that won't do it, the person on the throne. Who is this person? His name. And I know it's not stated here, but I want you to see some other verses in the Bible. So we'll step away for a few moments to kind of let us understand what we know about judgment in that final day. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Remember when Jesus spoke? I think we brought this out recently. But look at verse number 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed what? All judgment unto the Son. Verse 27. And hath given me authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He's earned that right, brethren. He came down here and took on human flesh, lived a perfect life. And he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's the perfect judge. He knows every excuse we're going to try to give up. Amen. Because he suffered every test and trial. So he's the perfect judge. Then we look at verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. There it is. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. Certainly, there's other verses in the Bible, but this suffices that we know that Jesus Christ is His name. Jesus is the one sitting on the throne there in Revelation 20. And we see not only His name, of course, here it says, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. But think of His nature. And we know Jesus came as a lamb, now He's coming as a lion. He was the Savior, now He's going to be the sentencer. He's the one giving you your final sentence if you don't know Him. His nature. We know Him from the book we're not going to go through the book of Revelation, but think of chapter 19, verse 16. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. He's not going to be there as the lowly Nazarene. He's not going to be there as the poor, humble carpenter. He's going to be there as the resurrected conqueror. Amen. The King of kings and Lord of lords. But let's go back now. He's the Ancient of Days. Go back to Daniel 7, again, a little more about His character, His nature. Remember, God gave this vision to Daniel. And we do know a little bit about this prophecy. And we've kind of looked a little bit in chapter 9, but now we're back in chapter 7, the Ancient of Days. Amen. Look at the picture here. Ancient of Days, verse number 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Amen. Whose garment was white as snow, the great white throne, and the hair of His head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and His wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before Him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto Him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Amen. The Ancient of Days is Jesus Christ. But we see in Revelation that His presence is so terrible and powerful that even the heavens and the earth fled away. Isn't it amazing that nature itself has enough sense to bow before Him? Yet, why do not sinners bow before Him? We see the person on the throne. We see also the perception of this throne. There's no place to hide. It says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You cannot hide. You cannot hide from the one whose gaze is, who knows everything. Amen. He sees everything. He's the righteous judge. The Bible is very clear. He knows all. He sees all. Nothing is hidden from Him. Not even our thoughts. Not even our desires are concealed. He knows everything about our hearts. So there's no place to hide. There's no pretense to give. Don't think in that day you're going to give your lame excuses. Because there's going to be a recounting of every sinful deed. and every sinful thought. Because they're recorded in the books. Remember, the books, we'll get into the documents in a few moments. But he knows everything. Don't think you can get away with it. I know it's easy to fool man, but you can't fool God. Go to Luke chapter 8 and verse 17. We'll step away here, get some verses from about God and looking upon us and knowing all things and the excuses. Amen. Luke 8:17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So there's nothing hid. So don't think that you're going to cover something up. I've often thought of that, you know, whatever's in our life that no one else knows, God knows, and he's going to bring it out. So it's better just to get it out in this life and deal with it biblically. Amen. Don't try to hide anything in your life. Some think they're getting away with their things now in their life, but the truth is God knows everything that you're doing or thinking. Go to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs 15 and 3, verse chapter 15, verse 3. There's several Proverbs, but we will not go through them all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's eyes are everywhere. He never sleeps, never slumbers, the Bible tells us. So there's not a time, okay, now's the time to do it. He's not looking. No, he's looking all the time. So you haven't hidden a single thing from God. And you can be sure one day those sins will come back to haunt you if they're not forgiven, if they're not under the blood. Amen. We're not talking to save now. Everything's under the blood if you're saved. Thank God for that. But you will not hide from the righteous judge. He will know all there is to know about you before you appear in his presence. He knows you intimately, everything about you. So we see the judge. I think we're getting a clear picture here. The judge on the throne. But secondly, justice from the throne. Verses 12 and 13. Justice. The judge, we have justice now. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. So who are the defendants? We have the defendants. The dead, the small and great. That's what we see here. Now, we know from the Bible, what the Bible teaches about salvation, that the saved will not be here. Why? Because we are passed from death unto life. John 5:24. We're not described as dead. The dead are speaking of the spiritually dead, as in Ephesians 2:1. There's a mass of humanity that are spiritually dead. They've never been born again. And now God will raise their bodies from their tombs. He will call their bodies from the ground, their souls from hell. He will reunite them in a pitiful procession of anguish and hopelessness. But you have the small and great as well. That's the king, the pauper, the general, the foot soldier, the master, the slave, the borrower, the lender. Everyone's going to stand before God. None will escape and none will hide. But all will face the righteous judge in judgment in that day. Preachers, deacons, church members, popes, priests, nuns, choir members, drunks, whores, drug addicts, pimps, pushers, grandmothers, grandfathers, teenagers, moms and dads, all will stand there together with Cain, Judas, Hitler, and every other person who chose wickedness over righteousness before the throne to face their judgment. Small and great, there will be no escape and there will be no exceptions. Small and great. From sea, from death and hell, tells us, every person that's ever died without Jesus Christ will face Him in the judgment of that day. See, this is telling us a little bit about, it doesn't matter where you died, you know. Regardless of where you died, sea, land, doesn't matter. Every lost sinner from Cain to the last sinner slain in the millennium, as we know, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. This horrible assembly stands trembling before the Lamb of God. They're forced to look on His face, the one they spit upon. They're going to look upon His hands, the one they nailed to the cross. They're going to look upon His head, His brow, the ones that are thorn pierced in His brow. They're going to see that. He still has those marks. And they're going to give an account of everything that He suffered, everything the Bible says about Jesus Christ on the cross and His death and everything they've heard preaching about that. They're going to remember it all, but they're going to see Him face to face. They're going to see all that He suffered to atone for their sin. And when they see Him as He is, they will be filled with fear. So we see the defendants, but we also see the documents. What are the documents there at the throne? We have, I believe, very clearly stated in the Bible. You have the Bible, the book of deeds, the book of life, and the land book of life. We'll try to distinguish these right now. The Bible says this in verse 12, the last part, it says, let's read verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. Now you say, well, why is the Bible there? Number one, you have this opportunity right now to hear the Word of God. You have the opportunity to know the Word of God. You can go out and buy the number one best-selling book in the world, right at the store, anywhere. You can buy the Word of God. It's available. And Jesus said, go to John 12:48. I like when I remember in our Bible study when you talk to people about the Word of God and how important it is that it is the Word of God. It's inspired, it's preserved, and there's some signs and tests, and we know that. But when we go to preach to them and teach them, I like ending it with this verse, because why is it so important to study the Bible? Why should you sit down with someone in your home and open the Scriptures and learn about them? Because Jesus said this, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. Listen, the New Testament is a revelation of Jesus Christ, not just the book of Revelation. The Gospels, the book of Acts, Romans and Corinthians and all the epistles are about Jesus Christ. And He's going to make it very clear here. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him when? In the last day. You have the ability to know God right here. To know the way of salvation. To know what God wants from you. And this book will be one of those books, I believe, in that judgment. How about the book of deeds? God is maintaining the deeds of everyone. There's a lot of books in the Bible, and I'm not going to go through all the books. But I do want you to understand, He's writing up the deeds of the evil. Because that's what it says. The books were opened. And he's saying they were judged out of those things written in the books. So there, he knows your works. He knows everything that you're doing, and it's written down. Don't think that God's going to skip over anything or that somehow he doesn't know. No, he knows everything, and it's all recorded there. Every deed. Every sin. Sins of commission, sins of omission, flagrant sins, secret sins, sins of the heart, sins of the mind, all would be brought out. Because the Bible says they'll be judged according to their works. Now let me ask you, would you rather stand there on your own record or on the record of Jesus Christ? He wants to cover your sins. He wants His righteousness to be placed upon you. What do you want to do? Stand there. So many people, we talked to a man. Remember the first guy we talked to, Pat? And he said very clearly, he's like, well, why are you going to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. The things I've done to people. And the truth is, he may be a good person. And I commended him for that. Amen. But that will not take you to heaven. And then we quoted him some scriptures about that. So you want to stand there on your own record, really? Because the truth is, all those good works never cancel out all the sins you committed. That's not God's plan to forgive you. Just do as many good works as bad. No, there's no scales in heaven, amen. I don't see them. There's books. And they're recording your works and your deeds. There's the book of life. This book is every name of every person who would ever be born is in this book. Go to Revelation 3:5. I think one day we'll have a message on the books in the Bible. Because there's a lot more than what I'm bringing out here. Because this isn't the main thing, okay? He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Go to chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So we have here the book of life. What I believe is that when a sinner dies without trusting Christ, their name is removed from this book. While your name remains there, you have hope. But when you die or reject Christ for the last time, you are numbered with the eternally dead, and there is no more opportunity for you to be saved. There's the book of life, and then there's the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life. And remember, go back to Luke chapter 10. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? What to rejoice in or what not to rejoice in? Sometimes we get that wrong, don't we? He said this in Luke 10 and verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. These are the names in the Lamb's book of life of those who are redeemed by the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. And so when you receive Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Now, I believe at the great white throne judgment, when it comes about, both the book of life and the Lamb's book of life will match perfectly. Amen. Can you imagine Jesus now Well, imagine the horror of standing there and now your sins are recounted. Imagine being forced to admit your sins and the fact that you are a sinner. Then imagine Jesus opening the book of life and showing you your name is removed here. Then imagine him opening the book, Lamb's book of life, and showing you that every slot in that book is filled and your name does not appear. You see, this is why you need to be sure you're saved today. You need to be sure that your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. Because we see this leads to the decision. Verse 13. Go back to our text. The decision here that is made. What's it say? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And every man, they were judged, every man according to the works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Judgment will be rendered. It's based on the evidence found in the books. And you can be sure the evidence is accurate. The record is complete. You will be alone there that day. Don't think you're not going to have a lawyer. You're not going to have an advocate in that day. You're going to be standing alone before Jesus Christ. No one's going to represent you. You're going to stand on your own record. Stand on your own account. You may even have an excuse today to justify why you're not going to come to Jesus Christ. And in that day, you will stand under judgment by yourself. It won't make any difference who hurt you, who stood in your way. It won't make a difference what hypocrite you looked at, whatever else your excuse is today. It will come down to this, you and Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about everything else that everyone thinks about and lies to themselves and is deceived about. It's about you and Jesus. It's about you and your relationship to Christ. Nothing else matters. And we need to get beyond. People will hurt you. People will be stumbling blocks. There's hypocrites in every church. There's no perfect church. But if you have the Word of God being preached, you better be thankful. Why not come to Jesus today when there's still hope for salvation instead of waiting for this judgment when there's no hope? There's no other opportunity. Last of all, but not least of all, is judgment. We've seen the judge, we've seen the justice, now the judgment. It's a fearful judgment. It's talking here about eternal death. Eternal death. Meaning, it's not just physical death, but the second death. That's what it's talking about here. The lake of fire is the second death. This is eternal death. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. Yes, it's physical, it's spiritual, but it is eternal. It's all wrapped up in that verse. The wages of sin is death. When you think about this eternal death, go to 2 Thessalonians 1. I think it's on there. Verses 9 and 10. I want you to see how God describes this. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. It's speaking of what? Everlasting destruction. That same word speaks about everlasting life. So that destruction, that punishment is just as long as our eternal life and our everlasting life. But it's from destruction from the presence of the Lord. So there'll be no dying there. There will be torment in the flames of fire day and night. It will be an eternal state of separation from the presence of God and anything that's good. Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." He talked about that in Matthew 25:41. He says it's everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and we know they're cast in there, are they not? We've read that. Imagine living your life the way you wanted, without regard to God, without regard to His will, and then having to hear the Lord who loved you enough to die in your place speak these awful words, "Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire." It's not worth choosing your own will. It's not worth living your own life. The world's pleasures are not worth it. Because it's not only a fearful judgment, it's the final judgment. This is it. This is it. This is the last judgment. The final judgment. There will be no appeals. All judgments rendered from this bench will be final and they will be binding. This will be the last day any of these sinners will ever see. This will be the end of the road for them. Forever consigned to the lake of fire to suffer torment for eternity. Many deny the reality of hell and claim such a notion is old-fashioned and out of date. But the Bible tells us hell is real and lost sinners do indeed go there and will end up spending eternity in fire separated from God. Aren't you thankful today we live in a day of grace? We live in a day of grace. During this time in history, a sinner can come before God, cry out for forgiveness, and the Lord will receive him and save him by His grace. Today is a day of mercy. It's a day of repentance. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of forgiveness. But none of those things will be given out in that day, that final judgment. Only judgment, swift and sure, will issue from this great white throne, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Arnold Lewis was a man who worked as a supervisor in a shipyard. His work took him from one ship to another all day long. One day, an inspector who needed to consult with Arnold about company matters had to search several ships to find him. He became very impatient and frustrated. By the time he found Arnold, here's the conversation that occurred. The inspector said, "I've been looking all over hell for you." And then Arnold calmly said this, "That's one place you will never find me. I'll never be in hell because I've been saved from hell by the blood of Jesus Christ." No more was said on the subject. And the two men got their business settled. But at the end of the workday, just before the whistle blew, the inspector again came and looked for Arnold. And he said, "I've been thinking all day about what you said to me. I wish that I too could know that I am saved from hell." "You can know," Arnold assured him. With verses from his pocket New Testament, he explained God's plan of salvation. And standing right there on the deck of that unfinished ship, the inspector bowed his head and his heart and received Jesus Christ. You see, that can be your testimony today. Would you like to be able to say about hell, that's one place you'll never find me? You can say that if you come to Jesus right here, right now. Let's stand, every head bowed.